You're listening to RTI Audio, powered by Rocky Top Insider. This is Pancakes and Bacon with VFL, Kyler Kurbison, and Reed Bacon.
Hello, Vol Nation. Welcome to another episode of Pancakes and Bacon. I'm your host, as always, Kyler Kurbison. Joined with Reed Bacon. We got another great show for you today. We're talking some transfer portal in multiple sports. We're talking a little bit of Tennessee baseball as we kind of swing into that season. Just catching up on a few things. So before we get into any of that, Reed, how we doing, bud?
Let's go. Tighten up, baby.
I feel like you might say that 75% of the podcast.
Yeah. I get juiced. And this is one of my
favorite
weeks of the year. I love the Thursday. I love the Friday. Friday is super slept on. Oh, second turnaround. Yes, please. And then the weekend, you know, waking up on a Saturday morning, getting to kind of start checking in a little bit, is still nice. But did you mean, pun intended, when you said it's baseball season, so we're kind of swinging into that season?
No, but, you know, how my mind works. I mean, pro's I'm a professional.
Pro. Yeah, that's what I was about to say, a pro's pro.
That's right.
I'm doing well. Very proud of you and excited and happy for you. You guys made some big moves over there in Nash Vegas. I don't know if you're going to tell everybody, but I'm excited for you. And then, other than that, I'm doing well on this end. Thoroughly enjoying the new house. Greatly. Still enjoying being engaged. Excited just to go ahead and get married and, get that going. All's well. Like I said, tonight's Tuesday evening. You'll get this tomorrow, which is Wednesday, so one day away. And, I'm fired up.
Yeah. So Reed was talking about me and my wife finally bought a home. It is 100 years old, and it's got some good bones to it, but it needs to be renovated. So that process of renovating, doing everything that goes into renovating, and making sure everything is safe is quite an undertaking. Obviously, I've got a little bit of a head start with the work that I'm in. I know the people to call if I need help doing anything. But it's still just one of those things where it's like, all right, like this weekend, I'm going to be there Saturday and Sunday, like grinding away, pulling drywall down, pulling weeds out of, it's what's going to have to be, moving forward. So,
I think
excited.
I think you may have been misleading a little bit. You said a home/house. It's maybe like I would consider it like a hotel, a mansion. It is quite large, quite large, which is exciting and cool for the fact of what you all can do with it. So very, very.
Yeah, that's true. We're excited. We bought it in an upcoming area too, so I think it can turn into something for us as well. So, yeah, excited about that. Now just having to balance that and work and house and remembering to get the cat food. It's all something. I had to push the pod back 15 minutes today because I forgot the cat food. I was like, all right, got to go back out. Got to go back and get it.
It's so funny because I was going to tell you this off air, but we texted and I texted you earlier today and I said 6:30 my time, 5:30 your time. And you're like, yeah, perfect. I said, okay, cool. So I finished work around 5:15, went right out to the garage, I worked out on lunch, so just so everyone knows, the fitness journey never stops. So 5:15 came, went out there, cranked up that mower, and just started getting after it. Threw the headphones in, listening to the Ryan Rosillo podcast, one of my favorites, and he's got Daniel Jeremiah and Todd McShay on, and they're talking. At the very beginning, Ryan opens up with the craziness of the NBA Finals or the NBA playoffs, which I do thoroughly enjoy. And then they start talking about the draft. So I'm like locked in. I'm just mowing and whatever. And I turn my ringer off for whatever reason. And I just so happen to like, oh, it's probably like 6:05, 6:10. I look, I got a text message from you from 4 minutes ago and it's 6:30. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to be in there right now. And you said, let's push it back 15 minutes. I said, bet. So like I ran in, showered super quick, and here I am. But that's funny because like I was so locked in. I just didn't think it would take me, you know, an hour and 15 minutes to do it. But I mean, it's a decent.
I mean, were you doing the front and back?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to take an hour.
Yeah. So it was, but it took a little bit longer than that because of some of the different spots. But anyways, just funny how it worked out that I was – I got lucky for the cat food.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Goldie – you should thank Goldie and Primrose.
I am thoroughly, thoroughly excited to hear – and it's transport portal season, which is free agency, which I love free agency in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But it came out a week or so ago, Elijah Herring hits. Go ahead and just what was your initial reaction? Has that changed in the week's time? What's your thoughts?
Okay, so I guess my initial reaction was, okay, like, cool. You know, the one part that always gets me with this stuff with transfer portal is you don't know whose idea it was. Sometimes it is like coach's idea. Sometimes it's player's idea. Sometimes it's a mutual thing. Sometimes it's a player coming to a coach being like, hey, coach, like, I know that you want me to play here, that you have a spot for me to play here, and I would like to play here, but I need money. So what I'm going to do is put my name in the portal. If I can get money here at Tennessee, then I'll do it. If I cannot get the money that I need, then I might go somewhere else. And, you know, if that's your prerogative, if that's what you need to do, you go ahead and do it. But what I hope that these guys come to understand is their own value. A lot of times, these people, the guys that are going to the transfer portal, are overvaluing themselves. They are not going off of the value everyone else sees them at. They're going off the value they see themselves at. You have all the confidence in the world in yourself. You're betting on yourself. But you're not competing against you. You're competing against every other starting linebacker in the entire country and the second string guy and the third string guy. So it's not just I'm competing against me. No. You opened up the floodgates to everybody else. So you kind of have to be humble a little bit in that scenario. Obviously, I don't wish ill will towards Elijah. I hope that, you know, he finds what he's looking for. I do think it's kind of odd that as soon as his younger brother gets here, he wants to head into the transfer portal. I would say he's probably looking for money. I wouldn't think that his starting position or a position for him is just gone. I'm not going to say that there's not competition going on because there probably is. But I also just like looked up his stats from last year. And as a business, like if you're looking at this as a business and you lose an employee, you have to think of it as, okay, what did I lose, right? What production did I lose out of this employee that I have to replace? I have to find somebody else to replace. So what these coaches need to replace from Elijah is 2.4 solo tackles a game, 3.8 assisted tackles a game, one pass breakup, in one quarterback hurry over a year. I think we can find somebody to fill those in.
So you're wait, he had only one pass breakup and one quarterback hurry all year?
Yeah.
How many sacks did he have? Like one or two? Any tackles for loss?
Let's see. Tackles for loss.
I thought he had a sack in the bowl game.
He might have had a half sack in the bowl game.
Okay. So let me ask you this, Kyler. You said a lot of things there. And I just want to clarify some stuff. So you think that he maybe was looking for money, or you maybe think that he saw writing on the wall that he wasn't going to maybe play? Or
I didn't think – the reason why I don't feel like it's right necessarily writing on the wall, because I didn't see a ton out of the quote-unquote starting guys in the spring game or at the practice that we went to that was like, oh, this guy doesn't have to worry about his position, right? Like the guys that weren't Elijah and Keenan, I wasn't like, oh, they have locked this position down. So, I mean, I don't think he played a lot during the spring. So it's like, hey, yeah, they were showing love to guys that were on the practice field. Like, I don't know. It's just a very, like, you put in a certain amount of work during the season, and I guess you think that things should just be given to you, but what, like, you don't have confidence enough in yourself to be like, I know that I'm going to play because I'm going to ball out.
Yeah, I agree with you that people are saying there's writing on the wall, but as a player, you're coming back, you've played as a freshman, yeah. You started.
Half sack. What? He's got one. He's got a half sack, and he had four tackles for loss over 13 games. He played 13 games, had four tackles for loss.
All right. So let me. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for looking that up. So what I was saying is, as a player, I think if it's a writing on the wall thing, it's a coach has to tell you. Or suggest towards something, or they have to bring in two bona fide studs that you're like, okay, like I clearly see it. I don't think, and it has to be crystal clear to a player because, like you said, we all have inflated confidence in ourselves. And so he should have looked at me like, okay, I played as a true freshman. I started a bunch as a sophomore. I'm going to be an upperclassman now. And all I have to worry about beating out is T-Lander or Arian Carter or maybe another younger guy in Keenan. And then, like, there's a spot, like, I'm assuming he's like, okay, Keenan's going to have one, and I got to beat up one of these guys. Another thing is, too, and a guy that we haven't talked a lot about at all, you and I, is Caleb Perry, who I think he'll just be a rotational piece, but I think he's kind of like, he's just there. Like, he's just whatever. That is my opinion. Like, make some good plays. Probably make some not some good plays. But obviously the coaches don't see enough in him to maybe start him. Will that change? Sure. I don't know. Could. But you're sitting there looking and you're like, okay, we rotate linebackers. We're thin at linebackers. So, you know, I'm expecting someone will go down at least one or two games. Do I play well? So I just don't think it's the necessary writing on the wall that people think. And I don't know if it's the money situation. And maybe these coaches and these teams have a way to be like, you know, you bring Elijah in and whoever you have to meet with him and talk with him, like, hey, man, like, you were making 50 G's, 60 G's, 70 G's last year as a starter here. Unfortunately, you know, we want you, but we're going to have to decrease that. Or – hey, we're not going to be able to increase it or whatever the case may be. And that's their way of like kind of showing him the door in a nice way possible. We'll never know exactly what it is, but I've given some thought it because at first I was like, A, don't care that he left. And B, he saw writing on the wall. Now I'm like, well, I don't know. Really? Did he really think that those guys are going
to
be
better? Because it is like coaches are going to try and sell the fact to stay because of the depth issue. Like, they want him there. Like, so, you just said, rotating and people getting hurt. Like, you need guys.
So that's, yeah, and that's why I think it's just so funny and weird. Is just like, because there's so many, like, I don't necessarily think the coaches asked, like, did one of those things like, hey, we're not going to increase your money. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it was where he wanted to increase and they were like, we can't do that. Like, sorry, we want you here, but that ain't happening. But what I was going to say is, at first I was like, don't care. Like, you and I, if we are anything on this podcast, we just watch tape and we watch games and we try to just give an honest opinion of what we feel that we see, meaning what we see with our eyes, what does that make us feel? And so I revert back to the games that I watched of him. He had flashes of decent plays, and then he had a lot of times of just not bad, but disastrous. Like, you can't win games when your linebacker is doing that. And so that's it. First, I'm like, okay, see ya, dude, like, whatever. And then I thought, as the week's gone on, like, you know what? He's not very good, but we are so desperately thin there that I know he might have been a D plus, but that's better than an F. Or if someone comes in as a C-level player, if they get hurt, once again, I'd rather have a D replacing him than an F. That's just the way I think about it, the way I look at it. So it's like,
yeah,
it's kind of a bummer that he left because we are so desperately thin there, in my opinion. I mean, you just look at it and talk about it. I mean, that is some crazy – like, the fact that we're going in with some of these dudes at the University of Tennessee to play a season, it's pretty scary. But anyways, that's where I feel about it. So it's like, at first I was like, see you, don't care. Now I'm like, well, there's maybe a spot, you know, a couple spots in a 12, 13 game season that we were going to maybe need him. So
it's just like no one could, like, guys in certain positions cannot go about it and try and say, oh, I'm not going to get playing time. Like, I'm not going to get a chance to show what I can do here. Like, Addison Nichols this past year, I get it. You're not going to start. You will not start this year. You might be a backup, but we don't rotate offensive linemen. When it comes to linebacker right now, it's like, dude, you're going to play the first game. Like, even if he didn't start, he's probably playing the first game.
Yeah, correction. They do rotate offensive lines. They're not going to rotate their best players and their center. So I get what you're saying, though.
Well, yeah, they have rotated offensive line. I don't like to rotate offensive line. I think it's dumb as shit. But
I know. But I don't want it to come across like we don't know what we're talking about. Which the few dedicated listeners that we have, they know that that's not necessarily the case. But anyway, so supply and demand's a real thing. And if I felt like we were in a good place, I'd be like, see ya. Because I think he's a Memphis player. I think he's an MTSU player. I think he's, you know, a lower level 1A. And it's just foot speed with him and it's instincts with him. So I don't, as a player, like I said, I just thought there was a lot of stuff I saw on tape that was pretty scary. Now, to end with that, I know Jason Jenkins put his name in and then like got pulled back, you know, so maybe that's where there's tampering and people are saying, hey, I can get this. And I need you here. I need you there. So then the brass at UT comes back and says, no, like, don't leave. We'll get you this or get you that. Or maybe a guy's homesick, wants to go back up that way, and they talk him out of it. I mean, you got to remember, these guys are still 17, 18, 19-year-old kids and have a lot of emotions and stuff. So anyways, but besides that, for the football team, that's really the only piece we've lost so far, which is nice. I think that's a good sign. They haven't necessarily brought anybody else in, which maybe they have tried. It just hasn't worked out.
How many guys are there left that you really want
well,
in the transfer portal?
Yeah, I'm not going to think too much either way because I just don't know. I'm not in that building. There could be guys that they want and they're capped out salary cap wise. You know, maybe it's like maybe
I can't believe we're using this terminology in college now. I know. Fucking salary cap. It's wild.
It's true though, bro. It's true. And so it's like maybe they're capped out. They don't have any other money to go. Maybe I look into it and I'm like, maybe they're happy with the team. You know, there's so many different things. So I'm not going to read into it one way or the other. Just kind of like wait for facts. And the facts are we've only lost one player so far. I don't keep up with it enough to know who's in there. Like, oh, I would love this guy. I want to think still in deep in my heart that if there was a blue chip guy that they thought could make a difference, and they can make a call and be like, all right, we got to have this guy. And they could probably get it done. But the crazy thing is when it comes to basketball – and by the way, we should have announced this when we started. We are not talking about the recruits for football. We're not watching their films. We're not breaking them down because, well, I guess we got in trouble.
We're too honest.
Yeah, we were too honest. And Kyler received some phone calls from people within the football program. And you and I were just like, yo, it ain't worth it. So we will only watch films on high school kids once they've signed papers. Yeah. So apologies for that. That's why we're not talking about the four-star receiver they just got. Basketball. I think basketball is pretty intriguing. What is your thoughts on Adu and Tope?
So looking at Joseph, I thought he had such a good season for us, you know, getting around that, you know, 12-point line with 8 rebounds and maybe a couple blocks a game. And he's just a solid big man. And I really enjoyed his play throughout the season. I thought like he really was a good part of the team. And I didn't really feel a vibe of like, I'm not enough. Like I'm not getting enough here at Tennessee. Right. I you know, they're not letting me play enough. They're playing other guys before me. They're, you know, not giving me enough opportunity, whatever that is. I didn't feel that at all with Adu. So it makes me lean towards he thinks he has a better opportunity somewhere else, whether that opportunity be playing time or money, he thinks he has somewhere else.
Wow, Captain Obvious.
So shut the fuck up. Oh, I'm trying to make a point here, Reed. Shut your mouth.
What led you to believe that he thought he had a better opportunity elsewhere? Was it that the reason because he left?
I'm gonna shove that Titan half up your ass.
That is true. You would do that because you're a freak and you like my ass. But anyway.
Oh my god. All right. I'm trying to make a freaking point here. With Adu, the ultimate goal for a lot of these, you know, guys is to make it to the NBA, make it to the next level. You go to college, you play a sport for the opportunities that are after, right? I don't make film as a football player to get recruited to go to college because after my high school senior year, I'm like, I don't get to play football again. No, I'm setting myself up for success. I'm setting myself up for my future. That is the attempt when you're trying to play sports in college. I look at Adu and I go, hey, man, you were a really good big man for us in college on a team with a guy who can get 50 or 40 points in a game. You were good for that. You're a 6'11", 240 big man that can't really move that well, can move okay, but is not handling the ball, is not getting outside of the box. He's staying down low. He's not hitting, you know, 18-foot jumpers or three-pointers. And I'm like, dude, Giannis is 6'11", 240. Fucking Kevin Durant is 6'11", 240. Like, yeah. Adu, I don't know what, like, I don't know what you think your next level career might be, but it's probably not going to be anything. So you need to think, what can happen now to set me up for success? In my opinion, Tennessee is a fantastic place for that. The community environment at Tennessee, people will always have your back if you're a former player, regardless. And I'm like, dude, you got a good thing going here. I know they're not just not paying you. They're paying you something. But, you know, where is your mind at? Are you really like, oh, I'm going to try and go somewhere that gives me a better opportunity to play in the NBA? Because, buddy, I don't even see a way you play in the NBA. And that's just because the way you're made, like, you can't even prevent that. Like, the NBA is a different animal nowadays. You got 7'4 dudes dribbling between their legs and hitting threes. Like, if you're not skillful with the ball in your hand and can move around and can shoot, you're probably not going to make it very far. Like, people are already saying Zach Edey is not going to do anything in the NBA. He's 7'4".
So first off, I got to correct you on – you've just thrown out some outlandish things. There's no way Kevin Durant weighs 240. Anyway,
that's what he's listed at, 6'11", 240.
Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
No way. No.
That's what he's like on his little, you know, little bio tag on like the
Kevin Durant.
On the like online list of players, yeah.
Kevin Durant, they have him listed at 240.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm pretty sure he's like 7'1", but he doesn't want to list it that high. He wants to stay in the sixes because he wants to be a guard.
I'll look it up after this. Yeah, but I think he's probably listed at like 215, 220. Anyways, I think you hit on something there that he's trying to go somewhere that can hopefully allow him to be a stroker, an outside guy, that he's sitting there thinking, okay, let me go somewhere that does let me maybe handle the ball a little bit. Let me take some outside shots. Maybe I can go somewhere that can really help me work on the pick and roll, because he's thinking, okay, I need to be 6'11". I need to be able to play defense. I need to be able to pick and pop. Maybe I can space and shoot some outside shots.
I mean, I don't think that's ever going to be part of his skill set.
I don't either. I agree with you. But I'm just saying, you got to put yourself in his situation. And at that, you know, at 6'11", he's like, okay, I want to play professionally, so I need to change my game. And that's not going to happen at Tennessee. Then another thing that you mentioned that everyone knows, it's the obvious thing, is like, if he needs to, everyone's going to make as much money as they can right now. So if other people are saying, hey, we're going to offer you this, my ultimate feeling to this is like, if Tennessee doesn't feel like it's worth it, I trust them. Like, I do. Like, and I don't think – I thought he had some really, really good games. But, Kyler, one thing that you and I know, and everyone knows that's listening to this, basketball doesn't matter necessarily about the regular season. You need to win some games so that you can get the tournament, put yourself in a really, really good spot. And he really helped win some of those games to get us to that 2 seed. But when it mattered most – he didn't show up at all.
The last game of the year. Like, just a bad taste in your mouth.
I mean, he didn't show up, not even the last game of the year, the entire, like, the tournament. I mean, like, the two games, or I guess the three games that really mattered, like, dude was just kind of a no-show. And so it's
– I mean, he had to be benched in the last one.
What's that?
He had to be benched versus Purdue.
I know.
And it's not because, like, hey, you don't have any effort. Hey, you don't know what you're doing out there. So you're like, you're just getting beat up, bud. Sorry.
You're just soft as baby shit. And it's like, so my thing is like, I don't think it's worth paying someone in matching an offer to win regular season games. I don't. Yeah. I think. And so, and the thing is, this is not fair, but I, as a fan, don't worry as much about the transfer portal on basketball. I don't. It's smaller teams. I love Tennessee. Love Tennessee. And I love the basketball team. Love them. But I'm a bigger football fan, even if it's a 10 and a 9.999. But, like, after the basketball season's over, like, I'm happy with it and it's great. And I'm like, okay, like, I'll catch you guys next February and March. And that could just be me personally. So when I see all this stuff happening, I'm just not as emotionally attached. I would have been if, like, Dalton had one more year and he was leaving. Like, that one would
hit. Yeah.
So it takes some of these fans and some of our Vol Nation fans and brotherins, and they get a musket shot and they are just like, they feel it. And they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so worried that Freddie DeLeon's leaving. It's like, who gives a dude? Like, now if you take a cannon and it hits me, I'm going to feel it. If there's like a Dalton Connect leaves. But so I say all that to say, like, I just don't really care. Like, I just don't. I truly don't. It has to be someone of major importance. And like, he was good in the regular season. He probably would have been really good in the regular season next year, but it's like, I don't need you in the regular season. I need you to help me when it matters most. And like, if you're getting benched for some damn freshman or sophomore, whatever JP Estella is, it's like, I don't need you here. I don't. And then with Tobe, I love Tobe. Love him. You know that. Like, I love how he plays. I love how he gets after it and all that stuff. But even him, a guy that I really, really love, like, if he wants to leave and he thinks there's something better, that one still doesn't hurt me. I'm like, Tobe, I loved you. I love the physical play. I love the Zeebo style. But, like, he still was a role player for us. Like, he still wasn't, like, a solidified dude. And so it's like, I feel like that can be replaced. Just how you started the podcast. Look at the numbers. Mm-hmm. I feel like this can be replaced. And it's kind of like, all right, Rick, I'll see you next year. It's like, go ahead and do what you need to do off the regular season, or you go ahead and do what you need to do in this off season, and it doesn't really affect me one way or the other. And I'll catch you next year. And it's just like, the whole team's going to be different anyways. And I expect that going into it. It's basketball.
Yeah. Like, basketball's different.
I would have been surprised. I would have been surprised if like a Zakai Ziegler would leave. I would be surprised at that. But even then again, I'm like, all right, like, you know what I mean? Like, it really would have had to been a Dalton Connect level, a Grant Williams level, of just like kind of that irreplaceable piece, in my opinion. So that's just kind of where I stand on it. And so it's like, it just doesn't really stress me, which is nice. I love being in that spot where it's like, I'm not getting worked up about UT basketball in April.
I'm totally with you. It's just like when you watch the full season, watch all the games, and then you turn on the film and you go, there's a lot of holes in this guy's game. He does some good stuff for us that I really like for us, but there's a lot of holes in his game. He is not, you know, fully brought together. Then, you know, he hits the transfer portal and you're just kind of like, you know, there's a lot of holes in your game, right? Like, you know that you're not a solidified big guy. You're not like a solidified guard. You know, you're not like a solidified number four. Like, it just sometimes when you see it, you're like, I don't know what they think about themselves. Like, if they think they don't have holes in their game, or if they're like, I know I have holes in my game and I can't fix them here.
Right. Yeah. And that, agreed completely. It's nice that I don't get super worked up about it. And, you know, we've already landed the guy from, I guess, Hofstra. I haven't really looked into anything about him except for the fact that I heard he averaged 17 and like 7 or 8 or maybe something, maybe 11. So maybe he averaged a double double. I saw he could stroke from outside. I'm like, cool. Good with me. Check you next year. Yeah. Now it's a good transition because now that basketball's over, like, I am getting locked into baseball. As you and I have talked about it, we're not baseball guys, but we're Tennessee fans. And if you're good, we will support you. And anytime that you can beat Kentucky, which it wasn't just beating Kentucky. It's a very, very good on good, you know, because SEC is great. So it's that reminiscence of when we play Arkansas or a year or so ago and we played LSU. And it's like, and the fact is, I still crack up every time I read Vol Twitter and read things about baseball and how bad of a baseball player I would have been, because I would have literally been getting kicked out all the time, because Christian Moore has a three yak day, buddy's throwing three out of the park, and like he's running around and like, you know, gets a little fiery, does a little hand motion, coming around third, going to home, looks over Kentucky. And it's like, he didn't get in trouble for, but people were like, want to like say something. And we've made these same points before about the teams 2 years ago. It's like, bro, if I just threw my third out of the park, I'd be slinging that. I mean, not slinging it, but I'd be yakking that bat up. I would be like, let's go. And the amount of shit that would be talked, and the amount of stuff that I would have been doing and looking at Kentucky would have been astronomical. And probably the only coach I've ever would have been able to play for was Tony, because I love it that he always takes up for his dudes, always.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely would have missed out.
Tony has that competitive spirit that, like, I have and other people have, that it's like they go into games with the best of intentions. Like, all right, I'm going to go out here. You know, I'm going to play hard, play physical, not going to get any fights today. And then, like, 30 seconds in, I'm like, all right, that guy, I want to murder him.
The competitive juices take over. You're just like, I will kill him.
Yeah.
And that stupid freaking ref over there, I'll kill him too. I mean, we've seen Tony do that nice, that chest bump before out in some of those umps. So, like, don't get on the bad side of Tony.
It's still, I think baseball and basketball have those, well, they definitely do, where it's a longer season. There's so many other games. So the regular postseason means so much more than regular season. And I still will always enjoy watching it, keeping up with it, basketball or baseball, watching it, and we win. I'm still super pumped. I'm super excited. I enjoy it. I bathe in it. I just don't maybe get as upset in the losses. As football is 12 opportunities.
Exactly.
Whatever the regular season is. And so those are so much more do or die. That's why when we lose to South Carolina 2 years ago, and like, I'm not well for a couple of days, obviously it's with you as a former player. And so that's the thing about baseball, is like, from an outsider's standpoint, I get to watch it and enjoy it. If they lose, like, all right, no big deal. And then my nerves will kick in, obviously, when it's postseason play, because I want this program to get one so bad for Tony and the diehard baseball guys and the players, that it's like, you want to be able to solidify what has been building. And so, like, that's why I want it so bad for that crew.
Yeah, I do too. It just feels like they're so, so close. I think Tony can do it. He's brought Tennessee baseball so far from where he started. And it's like, man, if we can get over that mountaintop, like, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful.
I don't know about you, bro, but, like, I'm not in a rush for him to do it. I really think, like, it might not be this year. It might not be next year. I just think if he gets to be here long enough, it's going to happen. That tournament-style play of basketball and baseball can be so tough. You get hot. You know, that was the bummer for the season 2 years ago when we had one of the best teams. People were saying it's one of the best college baseball teams they've ever seen. We had bats on bats on bats. We had absolute dogs, and Notre Dame beats us, and it's brutal. And that one hurt. Like, that hurts as a Tennessee fan. Like, I'm not a baseball fan, but, like, that one hurt as a Tennessee fan. Like, I'll remember that one. It's like, we didn't get to solidify for that team, and that's what happens with tournament plays. You get in, and someone gets hot, and they probably weren't the best team all year, but it is what it is. And that's why some people don't like it. I'm not saying I like it better than the NCAA tournament or anything like that, but, like, I like the NBA seven games because I feel like it truly shows who's the best team. If you and I do something seven times, it pretty much means the best player is going to come out, whether it's you or I. And so that's what's so exciting about it, but that's also what's such a heartbreak. But I think Tony will get one. I absolutely do. If he's here long enough, which I don't know why he wouldn't be, like, I think he's absolutely gets one. And, you know, if he's here 20 something years, I don't know why he wouldn't have multiple. So
I don't see any way that he's not here for a long time. I really don't. Like, seeing that knowing that the baseball team is not one of the top three of teams at Tennessee, two basketballs, men's, women's, and football. It's like, it's okay if you're close to a championship and win a few, you know, regular season SECs and tournament SEC championships. Like, you're doing pretty well for that, you know, number four sport.
Yeah, I would argue number three, but, you know.
I don't know.
It doesn't – that one doesn't have the pressure that Lady Vols has after we saw what Danny White did. So I can give you that one.
Yeah.
So, all right, brother, tighten up. And I'm excited to read the comments and see what everyone thought about, you know, I love the reading the thoughts on the opinions on what we had to say, but then also on the topic. So I appreciate and I read all of them. We try to respond to them. But anyways, talk with you soon.
All right, buddy.
See you, man.
Deuces. All right. Thank you guys so much for watching and listening. If you are watching, please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. And like Reed said, please leave a comment. If you're just listening, rate and review, download and re-download, and follow us on all those listening platforms. Also follow us on social media at Pancakes and Bacon for our main account on Twitter, at Pancakes and Bacon _RTI on Instagram. And then if you want to follow Reed, it's just at rbacon26 for him and then at Kyler Kurbison for myself on all social medias. So check me out there. Again, thank you guys for being wonderful fans. Y'all are the best. And as always, go Vols.